Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. Coming up, now that recreational marijuana is legal in Colorado, what will that mean for people convicted under old marijuana laws?
But first, the annexation of Crimea by Russia is complete. President Putin today signing bills reclaiming the province from Ukraine. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, the interim prime minister signed that closer ties agreement with the European Union, the one the ousted president refused to sign, launching the conflict we just witnessed. Today is also the deadline for Ukrainian troops to leave Crimea and for citizen militias in Kiev, who helped overthrow the former government, to turn over their weapons, a requirement before the EU can give aid to Ukraine. So there's lots going on. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley joins us. And Eleanor, do we understand you're right in Maidan Square, Independence Square, where protesters are still camped out?
I am, Robin. I'm right here down in the center of it. They're giving speeches. Everyone is still here. They say they're staying camped out until real democratic elections in May.
Well, and as far as you can tell, are people handing over their weapons? That seems like a big ask of people who just brandished weapons to overthrow a government.
It does. Actually, I came down here to ask some of the militia people exactly about that. And first of all, they say, we don't have any weapons, but they do. And no, they don't want to give them up at all because they feel a bit betrayed by the government, they told me. They said they don't like to see what's going on in Crimea. Today on the national television, we saw the handover of a Ukrainian base in Sevastopol to the Russians. You know, the Ukrainian flag was taken down with a national anthem, the Russian flag put up. And that is making people angry. They feel betrayed. They say that this is part of, you know, they understand that the Prime Minister, Arseniy Yatsenyuk, has to go with Europe now, and this is what the Europeans want. But they say, we fought for this, you know, we ousted our dictator, we fought for democracy. People have died out here, 100 people. And why should we give up our guns when we see that our government is giving in to the Russians and no one knows what's going to happen next?
You mentioned the footage on Ukrainian television, the turnover of this Ukrainian naval base in Crimea to Russian troops. Let's listen to a little of the sound of that, which, as you say, was so powerful for people. There's a flag unfurling there. People applauding. This is again in Crimea. There's some speeches. And they're going to play the Russian national anthem there. So this is what people in Ukraine watched. Quite painful for them. It sounds like they're saying to you as well, might they have to defend themselves against Russia?
Yeah, there's almost that feeling. You talk to regular people, and they're talking about they're going to get a gun, and they will defend themselves. There was even a young woman I talked to. She says she's taking shooting lessons. So there's a real feeling here that it might come down to defending yourself, especially when they see their military just handing things over to the Russians. There's a lot of hope that the West, NATO, will come in and help. At least people have talked to me about a no-fly zone over the country. I did speak with a former defense minister earlier this week, and he said, we would like the militias to turn in their guns because our military can handle the interior security of the country, but we cannot handle the Russians if they come in. But it's all disorganized. No one really knows what's going to happen. So to ask these people who've already been out here months now defending what they say is their country, the future democracy with Europe, to ask them to hand over their guns when they've seen people killed out here. There's shrines, flowers, votive candles to the 100 people that died. To ask them to give up their guns, they say that's too much.
Well, and some of them are very big guns. We know AK-47s were seized from an arms depot in the uprising that led to the government fall. And it's a right-wing paramilitary group, the right sector, that has a lot of those guns. They've said as much. So what is your sense? Because we know that officials in the interim government are saying to these people, look, we'll form a National Guard. You can join some sort of formal government guard,
right,
if you want to keep
right.
your guns.
Yeah, the Prime Minister said if you want to fight for Ukraine, you can join the Army or the National Guard. And they're taking a lot of members. They're taking a lot of these militia people are joining the National Guard. I went to a guard base where they were training. So a lot of people have gone to do that. But, you know, I guess not everyone is. Some people are too old, or there's just a disparate lot of people out here. And the thing is, those guns that came from the weapons base in the west of Ukraine, no one knows exactly who has them or where they are. And I'll tell you this, too. Ukrainians can carry a pistol that shoots rubber bullets if they have a rifle permit. And a man showed me his the other day, and he showed me the rubber-tipped bullet and the little pistol. And I asked him, could that be turned – I don't know anything about guns, but I said, could that be turned into a gun that fires regular ammunition? And he sort of smiled.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think is going to happen, Eleanor? Because, again, the European Union has made this a requirement of receiving aid, that the militias and civilians turn in these guns. Do you think they'll look the other way? Because Ukraine, it would seem, would desperately start to need aid soon as it's severing ties with Russia.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much going on right now, I tell you, Robin, that it's hard to know what's going on. People have told me things change three times a day. I feel like the country right now is being torn between East and West. On one side, you have Crimea officially taken by Russia today. On the other side, you have Ukraine government signing a memorandum of agreement with the EU. So, and one minister told me, he said, you know, our country has never talked about these internal problems, you know, the East-West divide, sort of the ethnic more Russians in the East and the looking towards Russia. He said, this crisis is now forcing Ukrainians to talk to each other and to come to grips with some of our differences. So this is a fluid situation, very fast moving, and a lot of people say what they want to see next is the West help them militarily, either giving them money for weapons or, like I said, that no-fly zone, blocking the ports. I saw today the French government says they're ready to send jets for a NATO, you know, NATO actions on the NATO border countries of Ukraine. So it does seem to be escalating in the military way. The U.S. has already sent F-15s that are in Poland. So, but yeah, the government is torn. The government wants to go towards Europe, but they have this Maidan Square, which was really the reason the government's here is because of Maidan. So it's a hard situation to handle.
You mentioned the French military. They've offered to send warplanes to provide air patrols over the Baltic states and Poland. Eleanor Beardsley, thank you so much. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley speaking to us from Maidan Square in Kyiv.